Today, we're joined by Dr. Aditi Agarwal, a practicing general dentist turned tech innovator and co-founder of Practice by Numbers, a comprehensive all-in-one dental software platform that's revolutionizing how thousands of practices manage their operations through intelligence analytics and seamless integration. What makes Dr. Agarwal's story truly compelling is her unique perspective as someone who's lived the daily challenges of clinical practice while simultaneously building the technology solutions to solve them. As a practicing dentist with years of real-world chairside experience, she brings an authentic understanding of workflow inefficiencies, administrative pain points, and the critical metrics that actually drive practice success. Her platform seamlessly integrates with major practice management softwares like Dentrix, EagleSoft, Open Dental, transforming disconnected data streams into actionable insights that help practices optimize everything from patient retention to revenue collection. Balancing her role as a clinician, entrepreneur, and mother, Dr. Aditi embodies the modern dental professional who refuses to accept that just how things are done and instead builds a solution the industry desperately needs. Welcome to Dental Tech Talks. How are you today?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast, Yusuf, and also for taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule to talk about teeth.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you, and honestly, really inspiring. You're juggling quite a lot there in your life and can't wait to dive into it. And I'll just go right into it. You know, as a practice, you know, you're a practicing dentist. You spent years in a practice, you know, working day to day, understanding the challenges. This is a question I always like to start with, right? Like, what brought you here to Practice by Numbers, right? What was there like a specific aha moment where you're like, oh gosh, I can really solve this. This is a major pain point that I think I can figure out a solution for that for myself and then other dentists. But yeah, what was that like? How did Practice by Numbers, how did the idea come about?
So, you know, Yusuf, I would say there are in life a lot of aha moments, but many times it's a lot of ooh, ah moments.
Well said.
And truly, I think Practice by Numbers came out of a lot of my ooh, ah moments. And when I started my first startup dental practice, I started it in a depressed market back in 2010. And I think I'm a very good clinician, but understanding the business side of dentistry, I found that there was a lot of unknowns in trying to navigate how to go from A to Z. That is, you have a patient in the chair, that's great, you send them home with a plan, why are they not accepting your treatment? What is the bottleneck? Where is the stop? How do you make the business of your dentistry better? What are the challenges that we are facing day to day on an everyday basis? And, you know, my husband is an engineer, and he would say, hey, the answer is always in the data and the metrics. Where is this data? You know, I can find all the tools I need clinically, but I can't find the tools that I needed to diagnose what the problems were in my practice. And that's when we started looking for data. Unable to find it, then my husband started with creating spreadsheets out of all the stuff that is already in our practice management systems, but not organized. So we started to pull that and create spreadsheets. And I looked at those spreadsheets and I was like, oh my God, I can't even. This is a lot of information for me to process. Then he created a dashboard. He said, how about this? And I'm a visual person. Most dentists are. And I was like, wow, that was like looking at, for me, it was like looking at an x-ray. It gave me such clear visibility in what is going on in them. And that's when we realized that honestly, there were gaps in our dentistry in general, because we couldn't find anybody who was doing this at that time. So that's how PBN really came about.
And you have quite a supportive husband, number one, by the way, because
well, I think he was trying to support himself, you know.
That as well. Yeah, I'll build it for you, but for me, kind of support. That's the best kind when everyone wins, right?
Exactly. He told me this is his love language, that he's doing service to me.
I mean, in hindsight, I mean, he was, if we really look at it that way, right? So, you know, how did you, like, so you kind of looked at your own needs, and then we're able to visualize them, right, into a dashboard for you to just kind of understand. But what then took you to the next step? Like, what was the next step after that? Like, okay, we have a dashboard, I could see this data, but then what do I do with this? What am I looking at?
So once I saw the data, I could see where the problems were in my practice. Initially, I didn't even know. I couldn't figure it out. I was like, what is the problem? Why is the case acceptance low? Is it me? You know, is it the person I have who is presenting the treatment? Are they not able to communicate effectively with the patient? Or is it financing? How am I supposed to know? I can't solve what I can't see. And so that's what helped. It gave the data gave me insights. Then I could take action. So when I realized that, oh, it is the part that I did not have proper financing options, right? See? And then I was like, okay, that's solvable. I need to figure out how to put proper financing plans or whatever I need to get that patient to accept treatment. And, you know, the ROI is instant. Once you know what the problem is.
And then solve it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this is fascinating. Understandably, you know, you had some help with your husband there, but, you know, building a comprehensive platform or a platform from scratch is really hard. You know, I've gone through it. You have gone through it. So you understand the challenges. It's not as easy as, I mean, people don't think it's easy, but it's definitely difficult. How are you able to maintain a clinical practice? Alone is already challenging. Any dentist that I know is always complaining that they don't have enough time, like every single dentist I know. So how are you able to balance that, being a mother, and then building this platform? Like, what's the secret sauce there?
There is no secret sauce.
Just no sleep?
Everybody asks me that question. And for me, to be honest, I never thought of it as work, right? For me, it was always, what is the next step? And yes, there have been many, many nights, weekends, days where, you know, food was takeout and sleep was, you know, I'll sleep when I'm dead kind of thing. But, you know, what happens is when you have a goal in mind and you say, okay, I have created something. I'm not just going to let it, it's another baby. For me, it's another baby. Okay. And I think for most owners, dental owners out there, their practice is their baby, right? And you want to give the baby the resources, right? It needs to be able to thrive. And it was very challenging, but I have a team. I have co-founders. As you see, I'm co-founder of Practice by Numbers. My husband is the other founder and CEO. And we have a third founder, co-founder. And so the three of us together, we created a perfect storm, because I bring the dental insights into what is needed in the industry and how to improve workflows based on what is needed. They were the creators, my husband and the other co-founder. They're both technology people. And they both were able to put my ideas into action. And then we were able to test those actions on my patients in real time. So that's where our secret sauce is.
Yeah, the feedback loop was a lot faster, and you're living it. You're also designing it. Very fascinating. Thank you for sharing the story, the full story there. Now, what was some of the biggest challenges that you faced to get other dentists to adopt a new practice management solution? You know, especially, you know, I feel like when someone is already really using a practice management system, it's really sticky, right? They would have to move all the files over. But what were some obstacles, or, you know, can you share a little bit about that? I'm sure it wasn't easy.
And, you know, dentists hate change, let me tell you.
People do. Humans hate people change, by the way. Yeah, change. In general.
Yeah, everybody hates change because it's a big learning curve, you know. Mm-hmm. And the good thing with our system is we are a bolt-on system, right? So you still have your practice management system, and we bolt on top of that to pull all this data and create insights. And so then what we started to do, we started in the analytics space, but then we realized, wouldn't it be great to sort of have or encompass the whole patient journey, right? Right from the intake till the patient leaves the practice. And in order to do that, we decided, okay, how can we make it better for the practitioner and how can we make change easier? Change is easier when you're able to give solutions that have definitive ROI. Okay. And when it has definitive ROI, then people say, okay, it's a no-brainer. It's not a change. And that is very hard to do. But the great thing is that we have my own practice that I can talk about that, you know, I have direct, what do you call it? A case study.
A case study. Yeah. 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 The best one.
The best one and the most authentic one. And I have been very open about sharing my practice journey and my numbers journey, how it changed from when I said yes to change.
And how long did it take you from, you know, the, as you called it, the ooh moments that led to practice by numbers? But how long did it take you from the inception to actually go into market or at least to test it out, right, on your own practice? I'm just curious.
I think we started testing in my own practice, probably. I would say we started testing it before it even came into market.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I figured.
So I would say probably about 2 years.
Okay, so two years from concept idea to then actually starting to test it. Yeah, that's pretty fast, actually, for developing something that comprehensive. And your experience as both a clinician and a mother, you know, it brings a pretty unique perspective to understanding workflow efficiency, right? Dealing with kids is quite a full-time tech job on its own, plus some emotional sprinkles in there. But do you feel like these experiences influenced, you know, the design philosophy of Practice by Numbers and how you kind of approached developing this platform?
Absolutely. You know, as a mom, the main thing that I realized, what is the most important currency in our lives, right? It's time. Okay. And in order to maximize utilization of time, we wanted to minimize all the busy stuff that a practice owner or their team has to do on a day-to-day basis. And how to do that. As a mom, I was like, well, if we can automate this system one, if this system two can write back into our PMS so my team doesn't have to spend extra time writing it. If we can do, you know, it's always, that is how we kind of started it, really break it down and then say, you know, I need this. This is going to save time here. And that's how it, and I saw it in my own team members. And I want to be home when I'm home, I want to be with my kids. I want to be able to be mentally present for them, emotionally present. And you can't do that when you have, you know, your team that you're trying to manage. I'd be in a procedure, for example, I'll be in an extraction procedure and I'd be like, I'll be yelling, you know, to my team member, hey, did you get the consent form signed? And I need to be focusing on that patient. I don't need to be focusing on whether I got that consent form signed. So how to automate that? You know, simple things. I don't have to worry about the fact that it was done or not. And then I don't have staff members who are doing this.
Right. And also just being able to focus on the patient itself.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
that's
like you said,
the practice builder right there is being able to focus 100% on the patients, because patients, you know, who is the most important person in the room? You, right? Whoever it is, whether it's the patient, whether it's you, whether it's your team member.
In this case, it's you, because you have your hands in someone's mouth and you need to be focused on them. So you would be actually the most important person that needs to be focused here.
And my patient's like, she's worried about a consent form. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know who's going to pull the right tooth. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Which is why we have Practice by Numbers now.
Right? Yeah. Oh my God. Great way to build trust, Aditi.
Absolutely. And very, really fascinating. I have another question for you. What insights, you know, from your clinical practice inform some of the features, right? I think you just mentioned the consent form. That's a big one, right? So basically, hey, we can just, so were you adding features on the fly as you were screaming things at your front desk in assistance? Like, how did that process work?
That would be great, right? No, we kind of started to look at, you know, the whole patient journey. Like I said, my husband and I and our co-founder, our third co-founder together, we would have conversations. They would ask me. It would be like peeling an onion, right? They would ask me all the conversation, all the challenges that I was facing or my workflows. They would talk to me about my daily work and then see where the bottlenecks were. We discussed where all the bottlenecks were. And then we talked about what can Practice by Numbers do to alleviate some of these bottlenecks. That's kind of how we created, you know, I wouldn't even call it a roadmap. I would probably call it
feature map more so.
Not even. I wouldn't even say we would call it a feature map. I think we would just call it a pathway. Right. And then we kind of added or a garden. Right. We created the land for it, the fertile land. And then we decided, OK, we're going to plant different vegetables and fruits or whatever based on how we got feedback. Because we are self-funded, we are very nimble. We're able to do things as we see the need is. And that really helped us honestly grow because we could figure out quickly where our need is just from feedback.
Absolutely. I forget who the quote was from, but actually I remember it's a good friend of mine. He posted it and I found it really profound, kind of related to what you're saying. Basically, if you take on funding too early in your journey, you stop building a product for your customers and you start building it for your investors. And usually that's when things go awry because you're no longer nimble. You're not focused on things that you know what's right and what you need to do in the long term. Sometimes you have to take two steps back to take three steps forward. And sometimes if you take on funding too early on in your journey, you kind of lose that ability. And a lot of startups end up not doing so well because of that.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. And of course, there are, on the flip side, there are startups who have partners in their investors who see
the vision
and support them through it. And then you have amazing companies, right? So it can go
absolutely.
Either way. Absolutely. It can go either way.
Absolutely.
But, I think for us specifically, it was the fact that we were able to lay down fertile ground and then understand what the workflows are because they see it. I see it every day. And we can see the bottlenecks because I obviously scream from the rooftops about the bottlenecks every day. And then they were like, okay, we need to be able to figure out solutions to fix this.
Incredible. So we've talked about your journey, the why, the how we got here. So let's talk about Practice by Numbers, right? Can you walk us through the user journey and walk us through all the core components that you have at Practice by Numbers? How do they all work together, you know, in a unified practice management experience? And how do you layer on top of the pre-existing management system? I know that's like four questions in one, but we'll start with the user journey. So I sign up. What does that look like? What does Practice by Numbers do for me as a dentist?
My gosh, Yusuf, it does.
Is this
so
a different
much.
Podcast? We should do another
it
episode.
It might be because we do so much. Like I said, we start from right from phones. So we have our phones right from the time that you call the practice to make an appointment, right? We have all the way from when you call the practice to make an appointment, we have call pops. If you're an existing patient, it'll tell the My Front Desk person that who it is calling. Does this person have any unscheduled family members? Does this person have any unscheduled treatment? Does this person have any benefits remaining? Does this person have appointments that are coming up? All of this comes up right in the call pop just from a phone call. Oh. I mean, and there's so much more. It is really, really, like I said, and we now have call AI, which will also give you sentiment analysis of the phone call. It will be able to tell you about missed opportunities. So that this is just from the phone call. And then we have all the other stuff. So say you schedule an appointment now and we have you scheduled on the books. Now you will get automated email or a text, whatever you prefer, or both, and with a link to fill out your forms. Then you will also get a calendar link that you can save your appointment in your calendar. And when you get the forms, you fill them out. Those forms are going now directly into my PMS into a document center where all the documents are housed. So no scanning, nothing, direct transfer. Then I know whatever you have written is yours and what, you know, so that we have done that piece of it. Then once you come into the office, you know, once there is a diagnosis or a treatment plan, we present that treatment plan right in the operatory in an iPad. You sign it. It goes directly to you, to your email, to your phone. So you have it right away. We have now payment plans that you can scroll down and pay for the treatment right away. It's just all of it is seamless. When you leave the office, you will get, if you've had a major procedure done, you will get an email with post-op instructions for that procedure. You're extending care beyond the operatory. And you will get a link to ask where we ask you for a review, to review the provider or review whoever you want to in the office. So automatic review, review requests. And then we also ask for patients, say they have a balance that they need to pay, automatic payment requests for online payments.
It is quite a feature-rich platform, and I love it. I think just from the initial call, you're already not leaving any money on the table, right? Because you're looking at their insurance, what they still have as far as benefits. You're checking on their family members. That alone adds a lot of value, I would imagine, right, for a practice. Because now you're able to see if any family member has come in. If not, can you just hit a button and it schedules it or tries to schedule it now with the AI piece?
Not yet, but we can actually at least have that conversation with the patient on the phone. They can schedule it on their own.
Yep.
Yeah. So
which
yes,
they can do it also through the platform as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And they can do it through the platform and through online booking. So they can do it. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's really incredible. On, we're working on integration solutions, right? I know that establishing integrations with, Dentrix and Eaglesoft is really crucial for adoption and for you to be able to do the amazing stuff that you're doing. How did your platform handle data synchronization initially and ensure that like the workflow is seamless and you're getting that data and it's working well and it's reliable? Pretty sure that was a daunting task. Maybe this is more of a question for your co-founders as well, because it's a bit more techy, but we can just go surface level,
Well, again, I don't have all the answers because I'm not a techie in that department, but it is a direct, we do have direct APIs with all three, with deep integrations. And, our sync is every 15 minutes. Mm. So it's just pretty robust.
Yeah.
It is pretty robust. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned AI piece. I know there's a lot of AI adoption right now. What AI and automation capabilities are you leveraging right now to reduce this administrative overhead? I know that you talked about the sentiment analysis. That's more just to kind of get an idea of what's going on with the call. Is the patient happy? Are they unhappy? What's the issue? And be able to flag those things. But are you utilizing AI for something more than just that?
Right now, not. We're working on it and, coming soon, hopefully, very soon. But we are working on more AI-generated, like agentic AI and things like that. We're still working on it. But right now, it's more sentiment analysis and, of course, the flagging missed opportunities and things like that. But we also have operations AI. So that helps you understand missed revenue opportunities, then gives you the way to create custom campaigns. So there's a lot of operations AI, which most other companies don't have.
Yeah. And it's good that, AI is still relatively new. So it's good that you're taking your time as far as adopting with agentic AI. I feel like a lot of companies jumped on the AI train really early on, which is okay as well. But I think it's evolved a lot more and perhaps in a different way than some people thought. Everybody has been talking about agents. Now we're actually seeing agents starting to come live and do these awesome things. So really excited to see what you guys are going to put out on the AI side.
Me too.
Yeah. It sounds like it's something cool. We don't have to talk about it. Yeah. Don't just spill the beans here.
It is cool. Yeah. I'm excited. It's going to be great. And I think, more than anything, with all these things, what we want to do or what I want to do as a dentist is reduce burnout in my peers. That's what it's going to do. They can go home and go home, not have to worry about all the million calls that we get after hours. and how to feel them and who's feeling them. Are they answered properly? Not answered? How are they flagged? You know, there's so many questions. There's always questions. Your mind is all constantly running. And I want to be able to provide the dentist a peaceful, you know, home life.
If that's possible, we can at least try. So your dashboard, I mean, your platform does so much, right? Your dashboard is consolidating multiple data streams into actionable insights and actions. What are some key performance indicators that practices should be monitoring, right? If you were to give a tip to anyone out there that's listening that has a practice, and how does your platform make that data accessible to a non-technical team member?
Absolutely. So when we created our platform, we wanted to make sure that we created for people with the lowest barrier of entry. Do not need a degree in technology to be able to run this platform. The other thing is that this platform can be not divided is not the right word, but maybe implemented by different roles. It's a role based. So you, me as the CEO of my dental practice, can assign roles or KPIs within the platform to certain people in my practice. So a hygienist has a different KPI, whereas my front office person will have a different KPI, that kind of thing. And an associate, my associate dentist will have different KPIs. And they are measured based on their KPIs. So it makes it easier because now it's divided. It is not, you know, one person is not trying to go through a million numbers that they don't need. They don't need to know the whole operations of the entire business, but they might need to know, like the front office would need to know their case acceptance or, you know, their treatment planning. The hygienist will need to know whether their patients are coming back. So what's the hygiene pre-appointment rate? So that brings me to the five key metrics that every practice, at least I think every practice should know or have on their fingertips. Is one is the hygiene pre-appointment rate. It is really, really critical to know what your hygiene schedule is going to look like 6 months from now. It really helps to contribute to the health of the business, and it helps you prepare for what your business will need 6 months from now. So, because change is hard for everybody, including patients. And the other is your production versus collection ratio. That's, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer, right? Hopefully you're collecting almost as much as you're producing. How much are your write-offs? Your third metric is your insurance. How much does your insurance, what kind of role is it playing in your practice? How can you be, you know, proactive about understanding what insurances play what role, pay how much for what procedure? And then for that procedure, if certain insurances, you know, are denying on certain, you know that preemptively because you have data. And can already be ready for those denials and say, okay, I know that this insurance company is going to deny this particular procedure code. I'm going to have my narratives ready to go. So it cuts down on time spent with the back and forth with insurance companies, right? Then you need to know your canceled or failed appointment rates, right? People don't think about that, but your back door is as the equally important to as your front door is. So these are like some of the main metrics that I would really say that every office should measure.
Yeah, really fascinating and good advice. You know, you talked about ROI and, you know, all the features that you have. You use it on your own practice. Was there a measurable ROI lift immediately from using Practice by Numbers? And what did that look like, at least within your own practice as a case study?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say just using a few pieces of the puzzle and making it easier both for the patients as well as for my staff members, I would say even without even adding new patients, at least a 30% increase.
Wow. Wow. On your ROI. Wow. And that's not counting you spending more time with your kids at home.
No.
Yeah, that's just
Straight ROI without even adding new patients. It's incredible how, you know, when I think as McDonald's said, right? Eyeballs, 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 right? It's important to be in communication with your patients as much as they will allow it, of course, and make it easier for your team to be in communication with the patients so that you get better case acceptance. You get better care through post-op instructions where the patients say, oh my God, doc, I really feel like the care beyond the operatory. You know, that's important. All these little pieces, ways to, you know, I'm a mom, I'm super busy during the day, and I do all my kids' scheduling, all the paying their stuff for their schools and their activities. Everything for me happens at night. And giving my patients the same opportunities to do that, I mean, just like that.
And on that same note, did you see an uptick in patient retention?
Yes.
Because of this kind of white glove touch service and experience?
Absolutely. I mean, I thought about it. I'm like, I do it for myself, my own kids. And wouldn't it be great if my medical provider, and honestly, it came with that. I was like, oh, it'd be so great if my medical provider would allow me to make, because I'm a dentist. I don't have time to be on the phone. I can't be on the phone half the time. I'm not in front of the computer either. So I hope to be able to find a way where I could do this. Right. So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. And really fascinating. You know, you talked about how this started with a spreadsheet. So many practices are still using spreadsheets out there and disconnected tools, as you know. What's your advice for practice owners who are hesitant at adopting integrated practice management solutions like Practice by Numbers?
You know, I won't say it's easy. I will say it's hard, but I'll tell you it's worth it. And I think it's good to take it in baby steps. You don't have to jump all in, right? What is worse than having an inefficient practice is that I'm a mid-career dentist. I've been in practice for 22 years. So, you know, as a mid-career dentist, I have seen dentistry from, you know, back when I was doing amalgams to now we are doing milled zirconia, right? This is for all the dentists out there. The inefficiencies that we saw in clinical dentistry, we are trying to make better. Why do we have to continue the inefficiencies in the business side of dentistry? As the younger and more tech-savvy dentists are going to come from or graduate and become part of the workforce, if we want to stay relevant, you know, we cannot just rely on intuition anymore.
And especially when we have great tools out there, and with these new AI tools also that are coming out that are really meant to help the dentists provide better care, have more time for their families, and just operate and lift their ROI, which is obviously one of the most important things. Really, really fascinating. Well, it's been really a pleasure having you, Dr. Aditi. Where can people find you? If someone wants to get a hold of you, someone wants to sign up, try out Practice by Numbers, where do people find you?
Absolutely. Find us at practicenumbers.com. That's www.practicenumbers.com. And feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions. And my email is aditi.agarwal@practicenumbers.com. And of course, we have our Facebook page and LinkedIn. That's where I met Yusuf. So, you know, feel free to reach out to me. I'm pretty open and easy to reach out to and connect with. So I'm happy to share what we have built. And if you have challenges, reach out too.
Absolutely. And very easy to talk to as well. I really enjoyed our conversations so far. So yeah, it's been really a pleasure having you, and I look forward to having you again and seeing what upcoming features are you guys going to build on the AI piece, and look forward to having another podcast and talking about the new features.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Thank you.